Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Today we're celebrating the presentation of the Lord, the Feast of the Presentation. And what is that? I'll read to you from a good Catholic website talking about describing what this feast day is apart. It says, today the Church celebrates the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, which occurs 40 days after the birth of Jesus and is also known as Candlemas Day, since the blessing and procession of candles is included in today's liturgy. It says, according to 1962 Missal, Roman Rite, today was referred to at the time Purification of Mary. This is known as the Christmas feast since it points back to the solemnity of Christmas. This is an interesting fact I didn't know. Many Catholics practice the tradition of keeping out the nativity creche or other Christmas decorations until this feast. So these are connected. So today's first reading gives us an important insight to understand profoundly the mystery of the Lord's presentation in the temple by Mary and Joseph in accordance with the canons of the Mosaic Law. It introduces the people and the events that in themselves provide numerous lessons and themes for all of us for our reflection. First of all, Mary and Joseph respect the Mosaic Law by offering the sacrifices prescribed for the poor, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So it's a purification. Also, it is an offering that's happening in the temple there. And so this is an important moment in terms of bringing Jesus. The first time that the Lord, for whom the temple was made, it's the first time the Lord is entering his temple as an infant. So it's a profoundly important moment. And the reading that we're given today is filled with tremendous prophetic significance. And there's key characters in it that I want to touch on today. But also, if you had a chance to tune into the program this week, we've been talking about the fear of the Lord, because the gospel readings we've been following this week touch on that dimension of the Christian life. If you didn't have a chance to tune in the programs this week, I encourage you to go to our website and you can listen to them right there, the programs, or download them on whatever device works for you. Best thing to do is the simplest way to access this program, Sister Ann's programs, all our YouTube videos, and the kind of things that I think are really helping lots of people walk in the Lord in this difficult time, is just download our app, the Renewal Ministries app or the Ave Maria app, or download both. It gives you immediate access to the programming whenever you want to listen to it at your convenience. Very simple. And it's a great way to pass it on to other people. Let's keep spreading the word together. Friends, I'm so acutely aware, both because of the travel we've been doing and preaching and teaching around the country, as well as speaking to supporters and friends around the country, so many people are just gripped by fear and discouragement. We all know how the kind of upheaval that's happening within our culture, politically, socially, culturally, in the church itself. And this is a time when we need the grace of God. I think one of the things we really need is what we've been talking about this week, a deep walking in the fear of the Lord, which gives us such clarity and vision of the majesty of God, and that all is in his hands, that he's great and he's mighty, and that great, mighty God is also compassion and love itself. And he's with us, and we're secure in him and in his hands. So here's today's reading on the presentation. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to make an offering, right? And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. There's a couple of key characters here, Simeon and Anna. An elderly man spent a lot of time in the temple, and his heart and mind were set on the kingdom of God, on the consolation of the people of Israel. The ultimate consolation of the people of Israel is the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah is the Lord. So he's been longing because he's close to the Lord and he's single-hearted, he's pure in heart. He's a powerful intercessor. His eyes are on the Lord. The Lord, at this critical moment, fulfills a promise or a word that he gave to Simeon that Simeon leaned into. And let's listen to what Simeon has to, or what the passage has to say. Again, he was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. What we see in the unfolding, friends, of the coming of the kingdom, as in the history of the whole story of Israel, leading up to the coming of the Lord Jesus in the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit was given in a unique way to particular characters in the story that had unfolded in history. Simeon is one of them. And it had been revealed to him, that is to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that is the Messiah, the Anointed. He was convinced that he'd heard from the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah, that he would lay eyes on him. The Messiah would come before he died. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, so what a beautiful picture. Imagine this elderly man. I wonder what people thought of him in the temple all the time, focusing on God. You know, you just wonder something. People, did this guy have anything else to do? And yeah, he thinks he's going to see the Messiah. People maybe felt sorry for him. It's not like he had an office, at least it's not described that way, that people would recognize, but he was great in the kingdom. He's a hidden jewel in the kingdom of God. And who would have known the role he was about to play in the unfolding of God's kingdom? So Mary and Joseph give the child to him, and then he lifted up his eyes and blessed God, and he said this, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So he's saying, Father, I can go now. Lord, I can go because the word you spoke to me is now fulfilled. And him leaning into the word of the Lord in his life was the whole purpose of his life. That's a beautiful thing to learn from a man like Simeon. He believed the promise. You know, other people probably have experienced various promises, and over time we wear out, we forget them, we get discouraged, it's probably not true, and you drift away. And look at the zeal of this man and how he's leaning on God in such a way, on the word he received, he's leaning his whole life, he's betting everything, he's going all in. He's leaning on God in such a way that if this promise wasn't true, he would fall flat on his face like a fool. But instead, God's faithfulness. And what is he saying? He's prophesying. Now he said, I have seen your salvation. What is that? The salvation is here because the Messiah has come. A light for revelation of the Gentiles, as Isaiah described him and others, that the light now for the salvation of the world has come in this child. And for he's the very glory of Israel. Because Israel is a light to the nations, the non-Jewish world. And they're a light to the nations because of the Messiah. Because Jesus comes from them. Verse 33, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for all the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. Yeah, what a powerful, powerful word, that word of knowledge in the Spirit that Simeon spoke to Our Lady. Not only that Jesus would be a sign of great contradiction, and of course, where is it expressed more dramatically than on the cross? The sign of contradiction, the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, stripped naked, crucified, nailed to wood, bleeding, dying, looking defeated in the eyes of the world. There's so much there. Many will fall and stumble over Jesus. It happens today. His claims, his authority, his absolute rule over all things. The human heart resists it. The human heart deep down hates it. We want to be God. We want to rule. We don't want to bend the knee. We don't want to give him the glory. We want the glory. We don't want glory shared, given to us that comes from God. We pursue a glory that we want to be the originators of, we want to possess. And it's fool's gold, but that's the blindness that we have. And then, of course, Mary and the unique role Our Lady's going to play in this work of the going forth and the revelation of the Messiah and his mission, this sign of contradiction, and she, her heart will be pierced. And we know the whole story of Our Lady and the beautiful, unique role that she plays. And what's happening? Many hearts will be revealed through all of this. Where are we in relationship to God, our Creator, our Maker? Do we have the humility of heart that Jesus said? Are we meek? Are we humble? Are we obedient? Are we loving? Do we love the things that God loves? Do we love God first above all things? Jesus comes to reveal the human heart, and on the cross, he does it like no other. The sin-sick condition of the human heart, the capacity of the human heart in him, he shows us what we're really made for: radical, humble, obedient love to God. That's what saves the world, not the proud heart of men that grasp after glory. Verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband seven years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84 years old. Wow. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So here was another unique character, a woman whose husband had died, and for many, many years, she lived a fasted lifestyle. She lived fasting and prayer night and day in the temple. Again, I wonder what people thought about a poor woman, lost her husband, you know, and she has no other place to go, so she's in the temple all the time. Maybe she's just so broken, so wounded, and they didn't see, many probably did not see, the profound gift that was in her, but God did, because of the consecrated heart that she gave in response to God's grace at work in her, and she pursued the Lord with everything that she had. May we be like Simeon and Anna. We're filled with the Spirit, brothers and sisters, in our baptism. We're strengthened in confirmation. The Spirit of God dwells in us as in a temple, and now the Spirit wants to bring us into that pure heart, single-mindedness, radical love of God, hearing God's word for our lives and leaning into God's promises, running with the Lord, living with the Lord, our hearts set on him, lifted above all the cares of the world that we're not, that so many people get trapped in, and be single-minded, single-hearted. Set your mind on things above, St. Paul said, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Friend, let's today, joining with the help of Simeon and Anna and all the saints, let's set our hearts before the Lord. Let's set our gaze upon him. Let's live by the promises that he's given to us so we can be a light to the nations. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.